wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that
will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow,
good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Coming to you live this Saturday morning, May 19th, 2018. Boy, it's springtime. It's rainy and kind of wet and damp this morning. Only about 40 degrees here. Well, good morning, Brother John.
Good morning.
And we've got Brother Tim from Wet, Nebraska joining us this morning. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And we do welcome you, the remnant. We know you're joining us from all over, and we thank you. Hopefully you're having better weather this spring. It looks like it's kind of a wet spring around the country, and that's better than no rain, that's for sure. That's for sure. So we'll have the phone lines open, and I know there's a lot going on in the world. I don't know that there's a lot of good news out there. The good news is certainly in the Word, and we'll have the good news here, but I'm sure we'll bring a few things up. But, John, if you'd open us up in prayer, then we'll go from there, sir.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for all our many blessings. Father, we ask that you forgive us for the times that we so often take for granted, the things that you provide for us each and every day. Father, help us not to be found wanting, Lord. Help us to be content with what you've given us. Father, help us to grant grace and mercy and compassion to those that may not be as fortunate, Father, and to particularly spiritually, Father. Your word says in Hebrews 1:14 that you've given us charge over myriads of angels, ministering angels and guardian angels and warring angels. So, Father, we ask even now that you would send those ministering angels ahead, Lord, and that those encounters that you've set up ahead of time, Lord, would be prepared that we could fulfill the Great Commission, Lord, that we could share the gospel, the truth of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Father, we ask now as we come together as one body, your body, Lord, that we, our desire is to do your will, Father, to come to that place of complete obedience where we love you with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. Guide and direct us this morning. Give us wisdom and understanding. Lead us to the stories that are important to your people, Father, and show us how they tie in with Scripture. Father, we can see that the birth pangs are growing closer and closer, and that they are growing more and more just robust, Father, and that these things are affecting not only hundreds, but thousands of people. So, Father, we cry out, remember grace and mercy in your wrath, and find us worthy to escape the things that are coming. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 And again, Remnant, we'll have the phone lines open this morning. If you'd like to call in, 307-745-5913. If you'd like to give a call, if you have a comment or a question. And here we are, third week of May, and time just rolls on. We were talking before the broadcast came on about the volcano out in Hawaii. Saw some further notes this morning that they're still having to evacuate people, that the lava is still flowing. And, of course, it erupted early Thursday morning and blew a big flume of ash. Excuse me, fighting a little throat frog here. But threw ash and smoke 30,000 feet in the air. I saw some pictures that, you know, it was getting light out there, and it just darkened the sky. And reports of people, it sounded like it was hailing with the you know, what was falling on their roof. And so we're seeing some activity. You know, I don't recall in my lifetime any other type of extended volcanic activity like this. You know, back in the early 80s, Mount St. Helens blew, but it had just rumbled a little bit and caught, I think, everybody by surprise. And so we're seeing some new things that...
I think it's interesting, too. You see those pictures, and at least the ones I looked at, there was people just went about their day, you know. Their golf game was more important than what
I saw
was
that.
Going on. You could see these people playing golf, you know, with 30,000-foot ash plume right behind them. And it reminds me of the scripture, you know, that in those days of Noah, you know, that they were giving and taking a marriage, and they would just go on as nothing was happening. And that's really what probably the majority of the world is doing right now. They're not paying attention to the warning signs that God's given us all around. That eclipse, I believe, was huge warning for his people. And then the fact that we have another one coming up is could be the creme de la gras, or whatever you call it. But I mean, those with eyes to see and ears to hear can see and hear what's going on and understand that, you know, we're definitely, based on the Bible, we're witnessing last day events.
Amen.
Yes. Turn or burn, you know. I mean, in the case of Hawaii, that's almost like a very direct statement, not even, you know, figurative. See all that going on there with the... I was looking at that lava running down through there, and it's like, wow, just big rivers of that running, and those things going on. It's just really an amazing... It's an amazing display, although, you know, I feel bad for people who are losing their homes and this stuff. I mean, don't get me wrong. That's horrific, but the display of God's power and might, for those, you know, we tend to... or at least at large, people tend to think that God's pretty milquetoast. I think they don't think that there's much going there, you know, a lot of times. The loving, caring, this and that. And it's like, the resources at his disposal to bring people to heal and to wake people up and to cause some repentance.
Right.
With all the things that are going across us in the world, they're huge, you know. I mean,
but we don't know whose houses are being destroyed. I mean, last I heard, there was a whole bunch of people that were making offerings to the volcano gods, you know. So,
right.
Got news for you. God ain't going to put up with that. Tim, you probably know what's the temperature to melt steel and then the temperature to melt rock. Can man even make enough heat to melt rock?
Yeah, we can, but it's really difficult. I mean, it requires intensive amounts. Yeah. So, it's not an easy thing to do. And for God, He can just make tons and tons of it in seconds. So
yeah, God's got an endless furnace there in the middle of the earth.
Yeah, and I think that's one of those things that. And so I say, it's just, you know, it's like stand still, be still, and be awed. I mean, the power of God is limitless, you know. And when I think about that, I think there's things that He has that we don't even, you know, it says mind cannot imagine, you know. And I think there's so many things we've got no inkling on, you know. I mean, it's no wonder we should fear God. The power and the might and the majesty are just, it should leave us in awe. And a lot of people, you know, it's like things that you take for granted when it's around you every day, you know, tomorrow will be just today. Things will go on, you know, that's just the way it happens. And it's like, not necessarily. God is God. And
that's right.
Better, you know. So, at some point you're going to run out. Well, and I was thinking about, to go back to this recent shooting, what was it, yesterday in
Texas, yeah.
Yeah, Santa Fe, you know, and one of the things there, you know, that occurred to me, and actually I heard it from someone else, but they were like, well, they're not attacking the sheriff's offices, you know.
and
it's like, yeah, they're really not. And the other thing is they're all kids. They're going in there and doing that. So, and this goes back to morally bankrupt. I mean, they are products of that education system, and they're morally bankrupt. They've been programmed and destroyed as a result of that system that's going on, and they're going in and attacking it. And I'm not saying that it's not, you know, seeing these kids killed or anything is a travesty, but I think it's a cry out to what's going on. I mean, of course, they redirect it as a gun control issue and all that, but it's, you know, look what's going on over here. And I don't think that people give it the full weight of the destruction that they're wreaking upon our future generations or our children. And, you know, they're religiously and morally and even gender, all of these things, they're bankrupting those kids. I mean, they are going in and breaking them down and leaving them with destruction so that future generations, you know, they take everything. So, and I think that, I think a lot of times the focus is on the wrong thing as far as why that's going on. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Yes.
You move God, help my children, and I'll, you know, you forgive me, and I'll forgive your children, basically. That's where we're at, I think.
Yeah.
Was that 4:6? Yeah.
Exactly.
My people perish for lack of knowledge. Well,
that's right.
You know, they don't get knowledge anymore. Not even knowledge as the world counts knowledge, but zero knowledge regarding spiritual knowledge.
Exactly. And they even teach them things that are arbitrary. I mean, totally arbitrary. 180 off. You know, I was thinking about the global climate change, they're calling it now, but it was global warming and all of the junk science and things that have gone into those different things. And they teach those things as fact. Like, when you teach someone opposites and and it flies in the face of God, you're creating a situation there which is going to leave them, it leaves them with no tether, with no lifeline, with no, when those things happen, you have no place to go back to. And you know, one of the things is when we get out in left field and we make mistakes, and as humans, we all do. I mean, Christ died because of our mistakes. But there's that lifeline there. You know, you take a knee and you say, Lord, I did wrong, and I need to come back, and I need forgiveness, and I need to stop doing this. And he reels you in. He, you know, pulls you out of that pit, the Bible says. And they take every opportunity to cut that line. Oh, whatever you do is good. It's all okay. You know, situation ethics, the lack of morality. So when you see those sort of things, you have to ask, so these kids, they don't have a conscience as regards this. It's okay according to what they've been taught to do whatever they want to do.
That's right. That's right. So, you know, I'd mentioned it before about what these kids are taught in school, and my son went to the local community college here this year in history class, American history, right? That'd be a good class to take. You got to have your base classes. So he takes it, and in the textbook, it mentioned the pilgrims and the starving winter that they had. And of course, we know it, and we know that they called for a day of fasting and prayer, and repented in virtually in sackcloth, but repented before God. This is the pilgrims, and because they were in a drought, they were going to die. And we know that God answered their prayers and sent the gentle rains that even impressed the Indians and saved them. And it was because of prayer and fasting on the pilgrims' part. Well, in this college textbook, it mentions, yes, the pilgrims had a starving winter, but due to strict military discipline, they were able to get through it. And that's what they teach. And that's just a sampling. But you're absolutely right, Tim. I'm glad you brought that up, because it is a propaganda war along with all the rest of the war that we're in. But the things that these children are being taught are not to rely on God, not to, you know, not to do that. Think of the godly conversations that would be brought up if that were taught. If the textbooks, The Light and the Glory, and Seed of Shining Sea had been used there. And so when they had read that, you know, oh, so prayer, and so the students would ask the teacher, so teacher, when God's people, who he brought to this continent, prayed and fasted and repented and returned to God, he saved them? And she'd say, yes, or he would say, yes. Wouldn't that be great? I mean, I know that we've taught our children those things, but see, those things are not being taught in the schools, not at all. It's like you said, Tim, just the opposite, that whatever happened just happened, and anything goes.
Right.
Anything goes. Guys, let's try a phone line this morning. Got a phone call. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard. This is Buddy from Virginia. How are y'all this morning?
We are doing good, Mr. Buddy. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. The school and the education that y'all are talking about this morning is very interesting. My sister is 7 years older than I am, and she graduated school in 1966. And her class, high school class from 52 years ago, meets every month for lunch, and they fill up the back room of this restaurant. Well, my sister, since her husband passed away, has been getting me to go with her because she don't want to go by herself. And that, Richard, that class has got a love for each other, and they've known each other, lived in the same community, and just a lifetime of friendship. Well, go up 7 years, and I graduated in 1973. And I think with eyes to see and ears to hear, with a lot of help from Pastor Peters, the music changed. And our class, we all fought each other, and nobody was friends, and we didn't have any friends, any camaraderie. Nothing like my sister's class at the same school 7 years earlier. And
wow.
You'd think our class would get together for anything, maybe, you know, maybe once every 20 years or something, but it was no family community and family like it was in my sister's class. And I really think, you know, the preacher, the 1968 and the way the rock and roll and the music that everybody would listen to, how that changed. And I think with the two times I've been with my sister, I think with eyes to see and ears to hear help from God, I think the music was a big part of it. But now, like y'all are talking about, it's not only the music, they teaching arbitrary stuff. I tell you, our children, they just need prayer. Is all it is. But since y'all were on that subject, I thought I would just call you this morning and give you that observation.
Well, thank you, Mr. Buddy.
Thank you.
Yes, very. I think that shows
what a blessing that would be.
That's right. With the.
You know, what's sad is even, you know, I'm fortunate. My children, you really got two choices: Christian private school or homeschool, in my opinion. But anyways. I'm fortunate that my children have been able to go to a private Christian school, and you see the same thing in the Christian school, and it really breaks my heart. And I brought it to their attention a long time ago, like when my oldest daughter, who's now married, was in sixth grade, I believe, and I said, you know what? Nobody is teaching these kids, even in the Christian schools, that this isn't how we act. We don't act like the world, because what happens is these girls, particularly the girls, they get together and they form a clique, you know, and all of a sudden they exclude one person. Well, that one person who no longer has any friends at school, all of a sudden they're like excommunicated and they want to leave the school and they want to go to, you know, to a public school or something where there's more kids and you know, and I guess then you switch friend groups. I guess that's what happened when I went to school and graduated in 82. But it's just sad that, we, you know, even in the Christian schools, they can't figure out the fact that we need to be teaching these kids morality and teaching them that, you know what, these friends that you have right now, they can be your friends for the rest of your life. They can be the friends that the Bible talks about that would give their life, lay down their life for a friend if we taught them the way we need to teach them. And sadly, that's not the case. So it's all around us, everywhere.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Well, all right, gentlemen, I'm going to get off the line and go back to listening. One other note, a side note, I'm really enjoying reading that 1599 Geneva Bible. And I've been going through that and really enjoy the, you know, the commentary and the history of it in the front of it. And just everything about it, it's a nice resource. And so, thank you all for what you're doing. And I'm gonna keep listening and keep supporting.
All right, buddy. Thank you so much, sir.
Okay.
God bless.
Thank you.
Amen. You know, Mr. Buddy's comments remind me on the pastor's teachings when he talked about growing up, like Mr. Buddy did. You know, in the late 50s and early 60s, and that it was a different time. It really was. It wasn't perfect, but it was a different time where, just like he said, people cared about one another. People knew each other. If you've read anything about the start of the Vietnam War, when the soldiers went over, the families, for the most part, the families that were back, that were on base and things like that, they stuck together. They had that camaraderie that Buddy was talking about. And Pastor talked about that, how you could walk down the street at night and you didn't have the glow of the television through all the windows. People sat out on their front porch or they were out walking as well. And you visited, you know, howdy Bob, and a little bit further Mary, you know, Joe, good to see you. Yeah. And the children could play in the streets and it was safe. And that is so far out of people's minds today, you know, with double door locks and security cameras and, you know, security cameras. Figure that one out. It just, the lawlessness.
1984.
Yeah, the lawlessness that has that we're living today. But you know, God is not mocked. If you don't follow His law, He'll give you 10,000 new ones to follow, and cram them down your throat. That's for sure. And that's where we're at. And it's like you said, John, about teaching. It is our responsibility as parents to teach our children right from wrong, to teach our children to develop those friendships, to be a friend, to be a good neighbor, things like that. And when we leave it up to if we leave it up to a school or you have these like these shootings. There was another one I think yesterday afternoon in Florida. It is just, if you're not going to teach your children, somebody is. Somebody is. If you're not going to teach them, somebody else will. And I think that
yeah,
we're
I was
seeing
taking
that.
This online quiz every now and then. You know, you're doing something online and you get these pop-ups to take a quiz, and sometimes I'll take them for the old muscle cars. And, you know what?
Well, sure.
How are you as a mechanic? You know, can you figure what these parts and all that? You know, it's just kind of fun. But one of them was for baby boomers. And the one for baby boomers was, it asked, what was it in the 60s that was not allowed on TV? And I thought it was, scantily clad women or something like that. But it was swearing.
Profanity. Profanity.
They couldn't even swear.
That's right.
Yeah, no profanity. So look at what we've come to now. And then you wonder. You know, you can say what you want, but these video games and all this stuff, that's playing a part. When you're killing people, and these, you know, some of them, if it's the UN or something, then, you know, you might condone that. But when you got these, like, Grand Theft Auto and stupid games like that, it says mature for a reason. So if you let your, and even mature shouldn't be for adults, in my opinion, but the fact that it says mature is at least they're warning you not to let your children play these games.
Right.
But when they're out there and they're running over people and they're killing people and they get, you know, boom, reset, press the button, and there they are again on the screen. Don't think that they don't believe that that's the case.
That's
don't
right.
Don't think that this idiot in Texas doesn't believe that, oh, wait, you mean tomorrow it's not going to be Groundhog Day and those people that I shot aren't going to come alive again?
Right.
There's something that I saw. I don't know if you guys saw this, but it's called Yanny versus Laurel. And I've seen it quite a bit in the last week or so, and I'm wondering, what the hell is that? So I looked it up, and what it is it's a short recording that, depending on, I think it's left brain or right brain or conservative or maybe Christian, maybe having more morals or whatever it is, but you either hear, when you hear this little clip, Yanny or Laurel. And I believe God's people hear Laurel, but it's kind of interesting. And then when you look at this Texas shooting, it says, Texas school shooting, another massive distraction from the biggest political scandal in U.S. history, as more evidence proves the dumbing down of America is almost complete. And don't think that they haven't used mind control on our kids. And
absolutely.
On the adults.
Right. But, well, yeah, you couple that with the drugs that they're giving them, with the mind-altering psychotropic drugs that they have these kids on. It's insanity is what it is. Well, guys, let's try to take a phone call here. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yes, hello.
Good morning, Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Good morning, guys.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, you know something? I've been sitting here pondering what you were talking about, particularly the gentleman who called about the old days in his school, and it occurs to me not too very long ago either that the people in your life who really teach you are the people that you spend the most time with, and your parents are there. At least my parents of my generation, growing up in the very late 50s, early 60s and stuff, they were there to feed me, to keep me in clothes, and to keep a roof over my head. But then they sent me over when I was old enough to this other group of strangers who were basically just nannies, called public school. But the real instructors in my life were the children that I hung out with.
Yep, evil companions corrupt good morals. That's what it, you know, that's yep. So important for parents to understand.
1 Corinthians 15:33.
Yeah. Well, and I think I like the verse, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, and that's just the first part of that verse. But if you ever put children together, unsupervised and it's not, there's a lot of meanness there. They have to learn how to care and be kind and to love one another and to support godly, precepts. And
sometimes you got to help them learn it, too.
That's right.
That's exactly.
That's our job.
Beat the foolishness out of them.
That's our job.
Exactly. And
well, this past winter, I spent some time, 2 or 3 days on the weekend with some men, and one of the guys brought along his son, and he was there to help us. So we were setting up equipment for a 3-day called VHF. Ham radio, VHF content.
Sure.
And dead of winter. And here's this young man. He's still in school. And somebody, one of the men, turns to him and says, "Where is your school at?" And the little fella goes, "Oh, I don't go to school." And there was just something about this little boy. It wasn't very little either. He could pull his own weight. And he says, "I'm homeschooled." And he got along just fine. He was quiet when nobody was paying attention to him. He stood in the background, but he stood tall, And when somebody asked him a question, he was directly looked you in the eye and answered your question. And I remember reading a book many years ago, We Took to the Woods. You may have heard of it. And it was about this family who went up to Maine and lived in the woods, and they homeschooled their children, or their little son, I guess. And they wrote in the book, and I don't know, I can't tell you whether this is a fictional or it really happened, but when this little boy came in contact with other little boys, that he did not act like the other little children. He was more composed and subdued. But you know what? The mother of this little boy wrote in the book that he did not know how to react. He did not know how to interact with other children. In other words, he wasn't one of them. And it stuck with me all those many years.
You know, Joe, the thought occurs to me, you talk about how you saw this young boy and how he communicated well and all that. And just imagine a whole society like that, because that's what Buddy, I think, was describing. That's what comes to mind when I remember our pastor's teachings on that. You had the parents that were there, had come through the World War. There was a lot of praying, that there was a lot of doing without. There was a lot of being content with what you had. And so the children that they raised, at least for a while, you had that up until that mid-60s. You had almost a society like that. The parents at home had taught the children that the people, that you were considerate of others, that you did look somebody in the eye when you talked to them, you shook their hand, you said yes sir and no ma'am, and you held the doors for ladies, and you helped carry school books home, and it just was what we think of a more of a moral, proper society. But that was the norm. The norm now is nose rings and piercings and half the head shaved, and and you know, pants hanging down to their knees. And that's the norm now when you go out in public. But it just wasn't always that way. And so, yeah, that thought occurred to me. You know, just imagine a whole society like that. And it was just a few years ago that it was that way. You know, when God dealt with Nineveh. Nineveh was a wicked land, but he gave them the opportunity to repent. And they repented. And that lasted, if I remember right, about 100 years. You know, two, maybe, what, three generations, four, something like that. And then they were wiped out because in just that short time, they turned from, you know, repenting and stopping their wickedness to right back as bad as they were, and God wiped them out. And, you know, when you read in Matthew 24, about it talks there about, you mentioned it earlier, John, I think, or Tim did, about Noah and how they were, you know, eating and drinking, marrying, giving marriage, everything was fine. It says, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And, you know, we're as was said earlier, I think we're in those days that everybody's just doing their own thing, thinking everything is just going to be the same thing over and over and over. And it's not. It's not.
Okay.
Well, yeah,
thanks,
you know,
for taking my call there, gentlemen.
All right, Joe.
And we'll be listening in.
God bless. Thank you.
Goodbye now.
All right. What'd you have, John?
You don't necessarily want to condemn all the public schools. I mean, I've talked to several members of the body who live in rural areas, particularly in Missouri and things like that. And
yes.
You know what? There's still some God-fearing teachers out there.
There is.
Yes.
Teachers that are taking it as far as they possibly can and still keep their jobs. And they have Bibles on their desks, and they use the name Jesus. And it's because the enemy hasn't got to them yet. So praise God for that.
Praise God.
Amen. Amen.
You know, even in these areas where the enemy has infiltrated, these teachers have taken a stand, and many of them have just quit. They just can't do it. They walk away, and they just can't do it. So, you know, there's still that remnant, even in the teachers in the public school system that know
absolutely
what's going on is wrong, that have the laws of God written on their heart. And we need to continue to pray for them, I believe, too, is for protection, you know, guardian angels and warring angels, because you know what? Those demonic forces of hell are fighting, you know, and I believe that there's demonic assignments, you know, maybe it's whether it's Satan that sends out the demons, but every single school district, every single courtroom, every single city council, all that, those forces are there.
And absolutely.
Our people aren't there providing the prayer cover that we used to provide. You know, God's like, well, we got free will, and if we're not willing to fight to keep the morality in our schools and in our small towns, then he will let them just go to hell. And that's pretty much what's happening is for the most part, people aren't praying like they used to, and that's the biggest thing in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Well, they are definitely.
Go ahead,
John. No, that's
well,
what
you can see.
Ahead, John.
You can see what's going on. There's things that are being brought out now, like the Inspector General basically is recommending that charges be filed against high-ranking FBI and intelligence agents, officers. I mean, but then they also are smart enough to know that just when a verdict doesn't go the right way, that these psychotic antichrist left, you know, look at what happened in Baltimore and in Florida. And so I think they understand that if all of this comes out, you know, and Hillary is indicted and put in jail and all these people that they look to as their heroes, that there very well could be, you know, civil unrest, possibly civil war, but there's definitely going to be an uprising of these people.
Yes.
who have fantasized for over a year now that
President Trump would be removed from office, and it would, things would go back the way they were when the abomination was in office. And it kind of goes to this phenomena that we see regarding this this phrase, Laurel or Yanny. Those people who don't have, I think, the morality, and who may have been indoctrinated through social media is a big one, but through all kinds of different sources, you know, they hear something else and they see something else, and they don't perceive the things that that God's people perceive as far as what's right and what's wrong, good versus evil. You know, in the last days, good will be called evil and evil will be called good, and they're not even hiding it anymore. I mean, before, you'd have to look to find some of these things, but you don't have to look very hard these days anymore. I mean, all you really got to do is watch just mainstream news media, and they're telling us what they are, who they are, and what they're doing on a daily basis.
Well, and faith becomes, we know that faith is the substance, you know, and when you understand that, I think that's why we've talked about the fake news for, well, our pastor talked about how that those things were colored and put off and fake news and everything else, and we've continued to bring it out. When you really consider that a lot of those things that they write and lie about, they become history, you know. If they're left unchallenged and uncorrected, they end up in the history books, which is what we've mentioned. And that history becomes the future, because it's always been that way. When they teach the lie, you know, and eventually it leads to downfall and destruction. But God is renewal. God is truth. God is light. The substance of those things, when we do that, are good things. And a lot of times the words that they use, I was thinking about you talking about uprisings and revivals. They were, well, if they rested, there could be a, you know, a civil war or a revolution. God, from a godly point of view, it would be like that's probably a revival as people return to godly ways. You know, I mean, it's like thank you, Lord, for that reality, for the true godly reality.
Yes.
That is being created around us.
What we need more than a revival, though, is restoration. Restoration,
exactly,
of the people to that morality and to that belief system that we used to have. I can't recite it by heart, but you can. One of the things that really stuck with me when Dad brought out the thing that how the morality of the people affect, you know, what is that system there, and how all those things eventually affect the economic system, the social, you know, every single system is affected by the morality of the people, really.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It is.
The operating
and our
system
enemy,
that you place yourself under.
That's right. And our enemy understands that. And they understand that, you know, for them to conquer us financially, they've had to get our morals to be gone. And that's what they've done. You know, and it didn't take a whole lot of prodding. You know, it's back to the time of Balak and Balaam. You know, God's people cannot be cursed, but tricked or led into sin. It doesn't take much for God's people to be led into sin, and that's what Balaam has done. Is you know, you destroy the morality of the people, and the society is destroyed. I think that's that. Yeah, you hit it right on the head. That is where we are. And you try to teach morality, and it's the right many times as well as the left that tries to come up you know, come against you. don't know if you saw this headline, but President Trump has announced plans, his administration, to bring a rule back banning federally funded family planning clinics from discussing abortion with patients. And see, you know, you think that that war, that propaganda war I mentioned earlier, a family planning clinic. Well, you know, if a child is never taught that that's an abortion mill, that that's, you know, where they do what they do there, then to them, oh, well, that's family planning. When I grow up and if I want to have a family, that's where I go for family planning. You know, it's that war of propaganda instead of an abortion mill. But it looks like that...
they're masters of it, too.
They are. That this Planned Parenthood, from a federally funded level, is on the way out as well. And so,
praise God for that.
Yeah. And you know, it is just... you know, it's back from the Clinton days. That if a person comes in, that they have to, well, you have to discuss abortion with them. If they come in and they're talking about, you know, if it's an unplanned pregnancy and then they want to know about adoption and things like that, you have to tell them that abortion is an option. That came from the Clinton era, and President Trump, thank God, they've rolled that back, and defunding it. And it's just, you know, we've had years of this. Spiraling downward, and so you don't just snap back from it overnight, but it is good to see that we are moving in that direction. Did you also see that the president has and I think one of the reasons that President Trump is so popular is because he says what a lot of people in this country think. You know, he mentioned this past week about calling these MS-13 gang members animals. And the left just went crazy. Hollywood, oh, they had a hissy fit. They just got all upset. Oh, it's dehumanizing, and oh, it's mean. And Nancy Pelosi just went off her rocker that President Trump would call these animals animals. And when you look at them, I like a quote here from Thursday afternoon. This was the day after this all happened. President Trump says, "When the MS-13 comes in, when the other gang members come into the country, I refer to them as animals, and guess what? I always will." And so he said, you know, that's just what they are. And I had an opportunity to talk with a local law enforcement officer, sheriff, deputy, here local, and they're not quite as bad as the law enforcement officers, I guess. And you know, he agreed. We kind of mentioned that, and he said, you know, Richard, he said, they are just animals. He said, we're blessed here in the Laramie area that we don't have them here, but, you know, they're up in Casper, they're in Cheyenne, Fort Collins. And he said, they are animals. And he said, all you can do is kill them. And this is from a sheriff's deputy.
Gun reasoning animals to be captured and killed.
And that's what I told him. I said,
yeah,
and he said,
the Bible says.
That's right. And he agreed. And he's a, you know, he's not a part of our ministry. He's just a local good guy and a neighbor. And I asked him, I said, have you ever seen any of them rehabilitated? Have you ever heard of any of them rehabilitated? And you know, going to maybe these tattoo removal places, hey, can you remove the 400 tattoos from my face and arms? And no, it's a lifestyle. It is a lifestyle. If they kill somebody and go to jail, that's fine with them. That just makes them look better. They have, you know, it is a total different culture. They are animals. Just like if a wolf were to come into your yard, you wouldn't just, oh, well, look at the wild dog. Let's go pet it and feed it. And no, you kill it to protect your family and to protect your neighbors and their family. And that's just what needs to be done here. They are animals
More than
that
animals,
need to be
though.
Killed.
More than animals, they're demons is what they are.
They are.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
are.
They undoubtedly have made a deal with the devil because you don't. Anyone who has the laws of God written on their heart can't do the things that they do and would not do desecrate
right.
the temple the way that they desecrate the temple.
Sure.
And they've sold their soul to the devil. And
sure.
As soon as we figure that out, as soon as we understand that there are those that roam like roaring lions seeking someone to devour, that come only to steal, kill, and destroy.
Destroy.
Which
right.
most of the Judeo-Christian church never teaches. Everybody's going to heaven. Jesus loves me. Until we figure out that there's an enemy, until we figure out that there are those that are demon possessed, that they do the work of their father, the devil. How many times did our pastor tell us that?
Amen.
You know what?
Over and over.
That wasn't a fairy tale. That was true.
Amen. Yep. And look at the difference. Look at the difference now in, you know, now they're called animals. You know, just a couple years ago, they were called dreamers. Oh, these are dreamers, that these youth, these dreamer youth, they dream for a better life for themselves and their family. And they know if they can just come to America and be good law-abiding citizens, that their dreams will come true. And we have to welcome
these
dreamers. And, the left does, but at least it's getting into the people's mind. And I think President Trump's approval rating went up with this, because that's what the American people are seeing. That, you know, their eyes are being opened, and they're seeing that these things are animals. They are creatures to be captured and destroyed. And
yeah, did you see, there was, I forget where it is, maybe Tim knows where it is, but there was a school service officer that stopped a shooting here just a day or so ago, and
yeah.
You don't hear anything about that on the news. You're not going to hear anything about that.
No. Well, and that's what I was trying to bring out earlier is they misdirect all of those sorts of things toward gun control issues, and it's like, it's not a gun control issue, because if it was, why aren't they attacking the sheriff's department? Or why aren't they attacking him? You know, and we brought this out before. To us, it seems simple and obvious that those are target-rich environments, and that's what we call a gun-free zone, you know. And it's like, wow. And I think that the kids that they've broken, if I can use that word, they're attacking the thing that broke them. It's a defensive mechanism. I mean, they're so messed up they don't even really understand it themselves, but that's, to them, they know what broke them, they know where it happened, and most of those children in their lives, those young people, after they do an attack like that, they actually commit suicide. It's because their life to them is already over, and they know the fault and the place that it happened at. You know, I mean, I think that when you see those sort of things, and you know, the mind control, if you look at mind control, they do the same thing. In order to obtain mind control with some of these projects, and we've all heard about them, like Manchurian candidate type stuff, but you know, they use deprivation, drugs, indoctrination, and reward or punishment. And you know, if you do all those things fit into that system, into that school system, I mean, you know, you're put in a little room, sat in a desk for 10 hours a day, you know, you're deprived of Christian fellowship, you're deprived of God, you're deprived of all those other things, and your rewards are you know, the different little rewards that they give you, or you can be punished too. So it's definitely an indoctrination sequence, but not everyone can be indoctrinated the way they'd like them to be.
Yeah, I think our people, we need to,
yeah.
You know, when we hear this about gun, oh, it's about, you know, we need more gun control. No, it's not a gun issue, it's a morality issue. I think that's what we need to try to get into people's minds is, no, it's not a gun issue, it's a morality issue. It really is, and that begins
at
home.
Well, they caught this kid, 17 years old, that just killed 10 people. There's no doubt about it. We have witnesses. Kill them.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
You can be done
right
with
now,
it. Yep. That's right.
Hang them from the damn flagpole.
That's right. And the same. Yep.
And then guess what? They might think twice.
It would. But see, that's effective.
Those that are gone.
That's right. That's
those
effective.
That are demonically possessed. But.
Yep. That's effective. That's God. You know, when they had public hangings, it was an event. And you know that parents taught their children, you see that guy hanging, he's a bad guy. He killed, he raped, he murdered, he stole. You don't want to do that. When they saw him hanging, his eyeballs bulge out and his bowels release onto the ground, and he twitch and gag and all that, and die. Don't you, you don't, you know, that is a deterrent. That's exactly what it is. And it's justice. And if you love your neighbor, if you love your family, you know, that's what they should, if they would do that with this MS-13, these gang members, just kill them. Just kill them and put it on the news. 14 more MS-13 gang members were killed today by the U.S. government. That should send a clear warning. Don't come here. If you do, we will kill you. And they'd stop coming because that's all they understand. That is all they understand. It's as simple as that. It really is. It is. I think it is. It is. Folks, hope you're...
Exposing of the corruption within the government through the Obama administration just might be that trigger. But then again, you know, don't put it past the enemy to pull such a major false flag, which, you know, right now we should be talking about the corruption. We should be talking about the indictments that are coming down high up in law enforcement. But we're not. You know why? Because yesterday was another false flag, in my opinion. I'm not saying there's not people that weren't killed. I'm not saying
that. No.
What I'm saying is that these things are staged. They're staged at specific times, and they're
right. It's a sidetrack event.
Designed for a purpose, yeah. And the purpose is to disarm the American people. And, you know, in reality, there's, like, Boulder passed a law, I guess, here in Colorado. Fort Collins, I think, tries to compete to be as stupid as they are, but they passed a law here the other day that about long rifles, and the wording is just so stupid. You can tell that they don't even understand what, you know, how a gun works. And any gun that you can use your non-trigger finger to support, you know, with anything that has some sort of a support that you use your, you know, it's seriously, and that's how it's written. The law is written that way, and you can tell that they don't understand anything. But the fact is, they're making it illegal to have any magazines that hold more than 10 rounds. And but, you know, you can't let the camel's nose under the tent. That's the thing we have to realize is
and it is,
it shall not be infringed upon, period. So well, you better invite people to church.
That's right.
It's about out of time.
Yep. Well, guys, we do. We'll have church in the morning because the creek's not going to rise. So, good Lord willing, we're going to be there. So, we ask you to join us 8:30 in the morning Mountain Time. That's 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern. And you can come to church. You can click on scripturesforamerica.org and click on the live video stream. And we'll be up and running in the morning and encourage you to come there. And the timeless pulpit truths that you'll hear if you'll tune in, if you'll listen and pay attention, you will get more out of them this now than ever before. They are prophetic messages that that we have seen and we see coming true today. And so we encourage you to be there. John, looking forward to your live message. You know, when my children are talking about your messages a week later, they're hitting home, and that's good. And I know it's doing that with the remnant. Because they're letting us know. So praise God for that. And we'll have communion. We'll have some good music. Got some new music for you tomorrow, folks. So tune in and see what we have there. Tim, thank you so much for taking time out of your day and joining us. And thanks for awesome comments. And
thank you.
And thank you so much. And John, thanks. And guys, we'll see you at church tomorrow. God bless.
Country stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them hell send forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever, God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high.
Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them off, move them off.
their disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, barking will be waiting at the end of our ride.